إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير وأصدق الكلام كلام الله جل وعلا، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، أرحب بكم جميعا. I welcome all of you once again in our general lectures, in which we been talking about matters that concern the family, the Muslim family. And you know how important this matter, this subject matter is. That because the family is the main brick in the building of a community. If the family is strong, stable, happy, then that will reflect in the same way, will give stability to the community and will bring benefit to the community. And if the family is going through trouble, turmoil, chaos, that will reflect in a negative way on the community as well. And we mentioned before that the family is formed by the husband and the wife. A man and a woman, they get married, and they put the seed for the family. And upon them both, the husband and the wife, a great responsibility. And likewise, we mentioned, and that's what we're still talking about, is the place where this family will spend time. It is the home, the house. And that's why this is the part three in these lectures that we're talking about, Al-Bayt al-Muslim. ما هي سماته؟ The Muslim home. What is the characteristics? What is that distinguish a Muslim home? Not just the paint. Not the neighborhood or a zip code. The Muslim home doesn't matter. Any country, any place, any zip code, any neighborhood has to be distinguished. And that's what we're learning. What gives that distinction? The trademark to the Muslim home. من سمات البيت المسلم الأصيلة أنه يرد أمره إلى الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند كل خلاف وفي أي أمر مهما كان صغيرا، وكل من في هذا البيت المسلم يرضى ويسلم بحكم الله ويسلم يرضى بحكم الله ويسلم له. We're still going to continue to bring the characteristics of a Muslim home. What makes it distinguished from the other homes in the neighborhood? From one of the main characteristics that distinguish the Muslim home, and through this also you know if this is a real Muslim home. Not just because people, they put a banner or they put little, I don't know, you know, poster by the door. This is a Muslim home. But once you step in, is it a Muslim home or not? Anybody can put a poster on the door, remove your feet. Some people, they even say, remove your shoes because you're about to enter to a Muslim home, they go there, nothing but TVs and DVDs and pictures hanging on walls, mixing music. And this is a Muslim home, per person entering to a Muslim home. The Muslim home has characteristics, not just some posters. One of the main characteristics that distinguish a Muslim home, that everyone that live in the house, father, mother, grandparents, if it happened they live in that home, children, stepchildren, everybody turn their affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't turn their affairs to their desires. You find in some houses Muslims, subhanallah, but then everybody has his own channel. Everybody want to live his life. La, a real Muslim home. Because as we remember, we learned before, that a Muslim home, everyone in it worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are obedient to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They mindful of the reality and the purpose behind their creation. And they try their best to adhere to the commands of Allah and to the commands of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one of the main characteristics of a Muslim home, that everyone that live in that house or that home, they turn their affairs to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially in a times of difference, of differing. When a husband and the wife, they disagree, he don't go back to his bag. He has his own bag of ideas. No, he don't go back to his friends. She go back to her family. They go back to the Book of Allah and to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In every matter, whether it be minute, small or big, they're like, listen, sister, I married you on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. I ain't marry you because of my tradition or yours. Remember that? The mahar you get because of Allah, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. The marriage took place according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Anything we do in this house, we're supposed to do it according to that. Not just the marriage is according to the Sunnah. Yes, the marriage, okay, you got to do dowry, yes, the wali, two witnesses, alhamdulillah. Okay, that's it? You gonna put the Book of Allah and the Sunnah now to the side? La. One of the main characteristics of a Muslim home, that they always attach to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They turn all of their affairs to these two, the main sources. These are the two sources of the revelation. And especially in a moments of differing, when they differ. And this will bring an end to those differences. Because these are believers. This is a Muslim home, inhabited by believers who believe in Allah and believe in the last day, and they believe in that they're going to stand in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. If you believe in Allah, you believe in His book, you believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're willing to apply His sunnah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether the problem is big or small, because sometimes, look, it may be small for the woman, is a huge, is big problem for the man. And vice versa. Sometimes a man may look, why are you making a big deal of this? It's nothing, but to her it's a big. So we learn one thing. If we can't come to agreement that is pleasing to Allah, not any agreement, then we have to turn it to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's step one. And the step two, once we know the ruling from the Book of Allah and or from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, a real Muslim home. And what that which distinguish those people that live in it, that they are pleased with the ruling of Allah and the ruling of His Messenger. Not just, okay, I'm willing to turn to the Book of Allah, and Allah says, like, oh, you know what? If you want to follow it, it's up to you. La. Once they turn their affairs to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they get a ruling, and usually get rulings from the ulama, because Allah raised them level. They're the one that have the better understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. So when the ruling comes to that family that lives in that house, we're talking about a Muslim home, then they submit to that ruling. And they are pleased. Not that they submit with it, but in their heart there is rejection. No, they submit to it willingly. Why? Because this is what Allah rules. And this is the ruling of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 36, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. In Surah Al-Ahzab, it is not for a believer, man or a woman. When Allah and His Messenger ﷺ have decreed a matter that they should have any option in their decision, it's not for them. This is not how the believers, they act. The believers have no other opinion against what Allah and His Messenger ﷺ decreed in a matter. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger ﷺ, he has indeed strayed into a plain error. Naam. So we learn from this point here. Remember, Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, said, as a human, and we live in this dunya, we're going to differ. Yes, nobody wished for differing and for chaos and for turmoil. Nobody wished to disagree with his mother or his father or with his wife or the wife with the husband. No. You don't want to disagree with anybody. Your neighbor, your partner at work or business. You don't want to disagree. But it will happen. Because we're human. Al-khilafu min tabi'ati al-bashar. To disagree and to differ is from the human nature. That's not the problem. Certain people, they say, why are we different? Why are we different? Because you're a human, that's why. But that's not the problem. The issue is how to deal with it. How to deal with it. That's what makes the difference. And that's very important for us. We learn that a Muslim home, a real Muslim home, that obey Allah, obey His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they turn all of these affairs to the book of Allah, to the deen of Allah. Because sometimes, yes, mashallah, you know things, but you may know, we don't know a lot of other things. Many other things we don't know. And that's when sometimes you as a husband, maybe your wife, she want to do something. She want to do something in the house. She want to bring some people in the house. She want to buy, she asks you, can we buy this? And you're like, wait a minute, we can't buy that. Why? If you say, I don't like it. No, that's not a good answer. What if she like it? Now you got a problem. No, you're going to say, listen, you know what? I'm not sure, but what is that you said we want to do? Let's ask if this is permissible for us as a Muslim. Let's see, is this addition that we're bringing into the house, is it going to make this house more stronger? Huh? Upon obedience, or is going to take away from that? Or is going to make us weak? And that's all you have to do. And if they are both believers, they ask a question. Ya Shaykh, we want to do this, is it okay or not? Yes, it's okay, inshallah. Allahu Akbar, that's it. No, it's not okay. Why, Ya Shaykh, can you give us the reason why? Because it lead to this, and lead to this. That's it. The husband hears it, the sister hears it, the wife hears it. That's it. No problems. Likewise, we nurture our children these principles. Son, anything that is pleasing to Allah, you ask me, I will try my best. I'm not going to promise I'm going to give you everything you ask for. Because I'm only human, son. Yes, I would love to give you what you want, but with two conditions. The most important condition, that thing, that request of yours has to be pleasing to Allah. And has to be something that will help you to stay firm on the path. And number two, if I have the ability to do so. Therefore, you teach your son, your daughter. If I tell you no, son, it's because of these two reasons. Whether I am able to do it, but I cannot do it. And I shouldn't, I cannot. Because it's not pleasing to my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's not good for our home. It's going to bring us problems. Or, it is pleasing to Allah, but I cannot do it at this moment. Inshallah, whenever I have the means, I will do that. طيب. حياة البيت المسلم عباد الله وسعادته وأنسه ولذته في ذكر الله. Another point. Now we're bringing you points. What brings life to the Muslim home? Because some homes are dead, man. Yes, some Muslim homes are dead. No life in them. And if there is no life, there is no benefit. Can you benefit from a dead? You have a dead horse in the backyard. What benefit can you get from it? Nothing. Nothing. You can ride it, can sell it, can do anything. Actually, it become a problem. If you don't remove it, it's going to stink. And it's going to be diseases, it's going to be a lot of things. Likewise, a dead home, what benefit the people they're going to get from it? Nothing. So now we're not talking about dead home, we're talking about alive, home that is alive. Alive, right? Or alive, which one? With the V?
Alive.
Alive. A-L-A-V-E?
L-A-I-V.
Hey, no.
L-A-I-V.
A-L?
A-L?
I-V-E. Ahsant. A home that is alive. O you servant of Allah. Or the life of the Muslim home. Its joy, stability. Where is found? In the remembrance of Allah. In the remembrance of Allah. Some people, they find it in movies. They think more channels, the more happy they will be. And they know that's actually the more, subhanAllah, far away from the deen of Allah. Yes, certain people, they be asking, how many channels you have? 65. That's it. We got 365. Man, we're way ahead of you in the shaitanic way. On the path of the shaitan. Yeah, they're ahead. They're way ahead in the path of the shaitan, waliyadu billah. What brings life, ya akhwan, to the Muslim home? What is that ingredient that brings joy, bring happiness to the Muslim home? Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Not music, not movies, remembrance of Allah. Not singing, not so-called anashid, Islamiyah. They have nothing to do with Islam. Those anashid, they call them so-called Islamic anashid. They are not from Islam. Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan, Sheikh al-Uzaymin, Sheikh bin Baz. They are from the Sufis. They are the one who introduced those anashid to turn the people away from the remembrance of Allah. Instead to be reading the Quran, they be singing anashid. They are not. We don't listen to those anashid. We don't allow our children to listen to this anashid. Because they turn the people away from the remembrance of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that which brings life to the Muslim home, joy, stability, happiness, and give peace of mind, that is very much needed to those who live in it, dhikrullah. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فعن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل البيت الذي يذكر الله فيه والذي لا يذكر الله فيه مثل الحي والميت. أخرجه مسلم. وبنحوه عند البخاري كذلك. In this hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim, And a similar narration is in Sahih al-Bukhari with different wordings as well. On the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of a home in which Allah is remembered and a home that Allah is not remembered, no remembrance of Allah at all, is like the living and the dead. And we all know the difference between the living and the dead. The same example, a house in which the people, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a house that no remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatsoever. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم اجعلوا من صلاتكم في بيوتكم ولا تتخذوها قبورا أي صلاة النافلة بالنسبة للرجال. In this hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari or Imam Muslim رحمهم الله, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, pray some of the prayers in your homes, don't make them as a graveyards. The ulama, they said this is pertaining to the men praying the optional prayers in the homes. Because the men, they're supposed to pray in the masjid, the obligatory prayers. Unless if they far or they have a valid reason, there's something else. And they need to know, everyone need to know what is a valid reason before they stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you come to the deen of Allah, we don't come up with our own reasons. No, we have to ask, what is a valid reason? Is this a valid reason? Yes. Other than that, then the man in the asl that they pray in the masjid, in the congregation, the women, their best place is their homes. But if they ask permission, then they should grant this permission to come to the masjid with conditions. That we talked about those conditions. And actually on Monday, inshallah, this coming Monday, on a class of Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi, of Fiqh, the chapter we're going to be studying, alhamdulillah, is Hudurul Nisa'i Lil-Masajid. It's a chapter pertaining to the women attending the Salat and the classes in the Masajid, inshallah ta'ala. That's on Monday class, inshallah ta'ala. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تجعلوا بيوتكم مقابر إن الشيطان ينفر من البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. In this hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, pray some of the prayers in your homes, and don't make your homes actually, I was translating the other hadith that we just mentioned. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم مقابر. Do not render your houses to graveyards. Don't turn your homes to graveyards. Indeed, the shaitan, who is as an enemy to us, as you remember, open enemy. Indeed, the shaitan run away, flees and run away from the house that Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in. SubhanAllah, look at the virtue of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ صَلَاةِ الْمَرْءِ فِي بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. Also on this hadith, Hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahum Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, perform the prayer in your homes, for indeed the best prayer for a man is in his house, except the obligatory ones. So praying the sunnah, actually it is better for us men to pray it at home. Okay, but this is as we ask our noble scholars, this is taken consideration as for the sunnah that is before the salat. You got to take in consideration that you are closer to the masjid. Because the sunnah of dhuhr, for example, or the sunnah of fajr, the sunnah that is before fajr, or before salat of dhuhr, that's when the adhan is called, when the time of the salat is in, until the iqama. Okay? Until the iqama. So now if the iqama is going to be called 10 minutes after the adhan, and you leave 20 minutes or 15 minutes away, so you're praying the sunnah, they praying what? The fard, and you're going to miss it. Now what you do at this case, you come earlier. You come here by the time of the adhan, alhamdulillah, and you pray your sunnah. As for the sunnah after the salat, like after dhuhr, and after maghrib, and after isha, then if someone is going home to his house immediately after the salat, then alhamdulillah, he goes, and the first thing he do when he get to his house, to pray the sunnah. But if a person is going somewhere else, going shopping, this, he pray that sunnah in the masjid. Because that sunnah, it is called a nafila, because ratiba, because it has to be performed immediately, before or immediately after that prayer. And I remember an incident that took place when our beloved Sheikh Falah Ismail Mundikar Hafidhahullah was here in America. And because there is a sunnah after Isha, there is two rak'at after Isha. This is beside the tahajjud. This is the sunnah after Isha. And the Shaykh, he prayed the sunnah, and then he noticed that a lot of people didn't pray. And the Shaykh, after the Salat al-Isha, he gave a talk. And that was in the winter. Isha came around like 6:30 or 6:30. And the Shaykh, he kept talking until midnight. Yes, that's reality. Shaykh started from Asr until midnight. He don't get tired, mashallah. So now the Shaykh, he noticed something, that the people, many people, they just sit and they didn't pray the sunnah. And then he said, in a nice way, he says, look, before I start the class, I just have a remark. And I hope that I'm not going to offend anybody. I just, I'm your brother, I want good for you, because we enjoy good, alhamdulillah, we want good for each other. And he says, the point that this remark is like, he says, why some of you don't pray the sunnah of Isha? You Salafis. The Salaf, you're upon the way of the Salaf. It's not obligatory, but it's good for you. So why don't you pray it? One brother, he thinks like he's smart, you know, like he knows, have some fiqh. He says, oh yeah, Shaykh, we'll wait, because isn't it better to pray it at home? The Shaykh, he says, yes, but now I didn't see you in your house. You're not going, you're sitting. Are you sitting until the lecture is over? He says, yes. He says, so when are you going to, you got to pray it immediately after. He says, so if you're going home right now, MashaAllah, Jazakallah khair, go pray. But if you're going to stay with it here, we're going to keep talking for 3-4 hours, you got to pray it now. Alhamdulillah. So if the people, they're going to go to their homes, they pray immediately. But if people going to work, going to school after the salah, they pray in the masjid, inshaAllah, and then they leave. هذه الأحاديث وغيرها تدل على مشروعية إحياء بيوت المسلمين بيوت المسلمين وتنويرها بذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى من التهليل والتسبيح والتكبير. These narrations and the like of it that contains the same meaning, they are a proof that it is legislated for us to revive our homes, give it life, give it the light, the real light, not just paying the bills. No, there is another light. You turn the switch and you see the light, yes, but there is another light that the Muslim home have that the kafir home don't have. And that a person upon the sunnah, upon Salafiyya have, not people of Sufiyya and Hizbiyya don't have this. It's somebody who's upon istiqama, because you need to say you're Salafi, meaning you're mustaqim. When you said you're a Salafi, meaning you're upon the right way. Because you ascribe yourself to the best of this ummah. So now, you need to pay the bill to keep your light on. But then you have to make sure there is another light. That you don't pay no bill for it. It's free, alhamdulillah. This is the light of Iman. Okay? And you cannot do without this one. Yes, they can cut your electricity, but you can get a candle or get a flashlight or hope for a nice, the moon, you know what I'm saying? Or you can get out on a porch, get some light from the poles of the streets. But if you don't have this light, where are you going to get it from? It is the light of Iman. That comes from the remembrance of Allah. In the house, you say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. The sister in her house, in the kitchen, she's cooking and she's remembering Allah. Yeah, she's cooking, she's carrying the onions, and Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. She's doing the laundry, okay, taking the clothing from the basket to the washer. La ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And she's taking them from the thing, put them from the washer to the dryer. She's folding, and she's remembering Allah. She's going to do the laundry, and then when she finished, like she didn't do it. She finished everything, and she's like, Subhanallah. Because she was, Subhanallah, her soul was attached to the remembrance of Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise. The man is working, he's cutting the grass in his backyard. He's picking up things around the house, fixing his car, oil change, instead to just, look at how rusty this car is. Stuck with Audubillah, man. Say Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. You're driving, you're remembering Allah. You don't worry about who cut in front of you and who's going 65 miles in 45 zone. You know none of that. You're remembering Allah, like you're driving by yourself. You don't even see who cut here or who's doing what because you're busy. You have no time for those people violations, man. You're remembering Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. People getting mad in a line in Walmart because they should open more registers, you know what I'm saying? People, they get mad. They can't wait, but you don't see the registers, me, because your eyes is on the prize. Your eyes are not on the registers. Your eyes on the prize, paradise. You're remembering Allah. You're waiting, alhamdulillah. The more wait, the more remembrance of Allah. Allahu Akbar. See? Don't get involved. Yeah, they should. Yeah. Now a kafir going to cut you off? Huh? Pull the plug? Now you're remembering Allah, and then a kafir said, they're supposed to open another register. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. You agree with him on what? This is Walmart, man. They have managers, they have people. They know when they're going to open. That's their business. You just go there to shop. People that will shop for 10 minutes, they want to change the program? No. Likewise, in our homes, we're not going to, as we're going to mention this later on, we're not going to allow some people to come to our home and change our program. You know what I'm talking about? We're going to deal with that later on, inshallah, because there's another point specific only to that. إحياء هذه البيوت بالإكثار من صلاة النافلة. نعم. We pray the nafila, the supererogatory prayers in our homes. This is how we revive these homes and bring light and life to them. وإذا خلت البيوت من الصلاة والذكر صارت قبورا موحشة وأطلالا خربة ولو كانت قصورا مشيدة. Now, if the Muslim homes are free from the remembrance of Allah, no remembrance of Allah, no salat. They become a gloomy graveyards. Naam. Deserted houses. You know a deserted house, what happened to it? If a house is deserted for months, years, nobody lived there, nobody cleans, what happened to that house?
Jinn come in.
Okay, that's one thing. What else?
Grow vines. Grows vines.
Grows vines. Wow. Must be in suburb.
Termites,
rodents. Right or wrong? Whatever, you know. You become like graveyards, Ikhwan. Gloomy, deserted. Even if they may be mentioned, a palace. A palace that is built $10 million, maybe more, but nobody live in there. What's going to happen?
He's dead.
It's going to be bad, dusty. All right? Many things happen. When the people, they live in the house, they maintain it. They take care of it. And they should. But when nobody live in the house deteriorates. Right?
Deteriorate.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. I told you before. keep an ear. Barakallahu feekum. Naam. بدون ذكر الله والقرآن تغدو البيوت خاملة ومرتعة للشياطين سكانها موت القلوب وإن كانوا أحياء الأجساد. Without the remembrance of Allah, without recitation of the Quran, these homes become a place for the shaitan, hangouts for the devils, as he mentioned. Yeah, it became a hangout for the shayateen. A hangout, favorite place for the devils. And as for those people who live in these houses, they have dead hearts. Even they are alive in their bodies, they are alive, they are strong, but they have dead hearts. Because that which brings life to the hearts and tranquility and ease is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِن سِمَاتِ الْبَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ تَعَاوُنُ أَفْرَادِهِ عَلَى الطَّاعَةِ وَالْعِبَادَةِ. Another very good point. That from the characteristics and from the things that distinguish a Muslim home, that you find the family members, they help and assist one another upon obedience and upon ibadah. They encourage one another to stay upon the path of Allah, upon obedience. فضعف إيمان الزوج تقويه الزوجة وعوجاج سلوك الزوجة يقومه الزوج. نعم. When the man's iman, the husband's iman getting weak, now the wife, she knows that. And she's like, no way, man, I'm not going to let him go down like that. She helped him. What happened? You're not remembering Allah like you used to. You're not reading like you used to. You're not listening to those lectures like you used to. Your behavior changed. See? That's a righteous wife. She cared about her husband. Now, the wife, she has a responsibility. She has to keep an eye on her husband. If she see him like, because she should know him. She live with him, man. Not like a roommate. He live in 12B and she has 12A. No, she live with him in the house. And she know that this man used to read more Quran. As soon as he come to the house, he gives salam. He's nice to her, to the family. How you doing, guys? Did you read the hadith I told you? Now the man is coming, talking about Kobe Bryant and what's the other guy? I forget. Couldn't remember right now.
Ron James.
I didn't ask you to remind me. Jazakallah khair, barakallahu fiik. Fadal ya akhi, addin. Jazakallah khair.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
نعم a real Muslim home, ya akhwan, you will find that the husband and the wife especially, and then if they have children, every single member of the family that live in this home, that is a Muslim home, not just by name, by affiliation, it's a real Muslim home. You find them, they help one another, assist one another, keep an eye on one another. They want to be all on the same page. They want to be firm upon the path. And they enjoy good, forbid evil. They advise one another kindly, nicely. And as we mentioned, the woman, she pay attention to her husband, behavior, his actions. Because she knows him. And she should keep an eye on him. Not just in only in one way where he goes. Now she keep an eye on his iman, his attitude, his behavior, his habits, his ibadah. This man used to go early to the masjid. Now the adhan is in here on the computer. The man is still didn't make wudu. Now she talked to him. She said, "Akhi, subhanAllah, with all my respect to you, but what happened?" Nicely, with a smile on her face. He used to go like half an hour. We used to tell you it's not time yet. And you're like, "Yeah, sister, subhanAllah, I gotta go. I gotta do this." What do you mean it's no time? It's only half an hour to the adhan. I'm late. But now this man, actually the adhan is being called in the internet, on the computer. He's still there and the woman's here like nothing happening. No, she's gonna tell him, "Akhi, you're still here? I thought you left." She's gonna tell him like that. She said, "You still here?" He's like, "Yeah, the adhan, ain't called iqama." She's like, "That's not the point. The point, you used to go early. And you used to say that you're already late. So what about now the adhan is called and you're still here in the house?" She keep an eye on him. Because it's easy for us, ikhwan, to go here and there. If you don't keep your eyes on the road, you miss the exit. That's how it happens. And if the man... this happened to him, the woman, she's right there, reminding him, giving him advices, encouragement. "No, go. Go. Do what you gotta do." Because this woman, this believing woman, she know if this man is a good servant of Allah, he's gonna be a good husband. That's how it works. If he fulfilled the rights of Allah, he gonna fulfill the rights of his wife. Because who commanded him to fulfill her rights? Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if she makes sure, this advice to the sister, this is a hint. You want your husband to be good to you, make sure he's good in his religion. A woman should keep him away. "Why are you going to the masjid? Come on, I ain't gonna hurt if you miss a day or two." And now he stays with her and he didn't pray, and then they get an argument and she wonder, "Why are you acting like this? Why you keep him away from the food that will make him strong in his iman and give him patience and give him, you know, this and that?" Naam. Likewise, اعوجاج سلوك الزوجة يقومه الزوج. When a man see that his wife is acting up here or there, like in our terms, say tripping, he's tripping, and he excuse my expression, it's okay to say that, Abu Damir? It's not a bad word, right? Alhamdulillah. Okay. Take it from the expert. Alhamdulillah. I apologize. I mean to put you on the spot like that. Huh? You're okay? We're still brothers. Alhamdulillah. Love you, man. Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. So now, look, man, subhanAllah, sometimes some of us, man, we want this, the wife to just be nice all day, morning, afternoon. And she's, yes, it may be that there is some sister like that. But all of them are like that? Maybe there is this sister that, I don't say whatever you want to say, she's going to come to you with a smile. But then there is other sisters, yes, they're nice, mashallah, they're upon the sunnah, salafiyya, but they have their own moments, man. They have their ups and downs too. Naam. So now when the woman is acting up or she's mad, or what do you do now? Leave, slam the door and leave her for what? Now you're going to, that's when she needs you more than ever. You be there, you're patient. You're nice, you're kind. Why? Because you're doing it the way of the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah. The Prophet ﷺ, subhanAllah, we're gonna read after we finish this, we're gonna have a lecture about the house of the Prophet ﷺ. في بيت الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the house of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Remind me if I forget, okay? There's a lot of benefits. Don't you ever think that there is a marriage that is problem free. There is no marriage that is problem free. Problems, everybody have some. Some they have a lot, some they have little. Okay? But the issue is not having a problem. We human, problems gonna happen sometimes. But the issue is how we solve those problems. And we don't have to be creative. You don't have to have a PhD and spend $30,000 to learn how to deal with this issue. اتبع ولا تبتدع. Just follow. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, he was a husband or not? Yes, he was a husband. Some incidents took place in his household or not? Yes, they did. How do we know? Bukhari and Muslim. A hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, ya akhwan. And how the Prophet ﷺ deal with those things? You remember when the Prophet ﷺ was in Aisha's house? And one of his wives sent some food? What happened, Aisha? What did she do? Huh? She slammed the boy's hand, dropped the food, break the dish. All right. Before we continue with this, what the Prophet ﷺ did, let's ask now. You the one, you're with your wife, and then the other wife, mashallah, she cooked something that she thinks you love it, and she sent it with her son. And then the other sister, you know, she saw that, she's like, what? She's sending you food here? Oh no, I ain't taking this. And she slammed the food on the floor, the dish into pieces, what would you do? She's done. Right or wrong? That's it, man. Now, the man may like, you know what? Wait a minute, I'm coming back in half an hour. Are you going to go fight? No. What the Prophet ﷺ do? What did he do? Nothing. He picked up the food, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "Gharat ummukum." She's just been jealous. Sure. She did it out of jealousy. Find an excuse for her. No. Fighting ain't gonna bring no good in it. So likewise, when the wife starts saying things or wanna say something else or start doing, acting a certain way, that's when she need you now. Because that's not good what she's doing. And when she's sick, when your wife is sick, when one of us wife is sick, she's coughing, she's, I don't know, fever, she can't sleep or this, what we do usually? We leave the house for 3 days until we come back?
No.
What we usually do?
Comfort her.
Be there. Or what else? You're not married? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, brothers. Those who are married, talk to me.
Take care
of her. Go ahead, Rahim. I'm going to give you names, though. It's recorded, too. Naam. Huh? Good. Now you start talking. Ya subhanallah. Abdul Majid. Faddal. Nasir. Yalla. Huh? I make dua. Allahu Akbar. Ask Allah. Naam. Aba Abdullah. Nah. That's when she feels better. Inshallah, you bring her some food. Man, some of us, we don't even know what to do, man. Alhamdulillah for these classes. You're not married, akhi. But you may have a knowledge, yes. What do you do? Ruqya. Ahsant. See, Ruqya, making dua. Naam, Abdul Rahim.
Make some tea.
Hey, naam. Mm-hmm. Naam, akhi.
Take care of the kids,
too. Allahu Akbar. That's beautiful. Because she used to take care of the kids. Now she's sick. What are you going to do? You take care of the kids. Make sure. Some of us, we want to take care of them. We don't even know where the food is in the kitchen. All right, sister, I got it. You're sick. I got it. And the kids like, I'm hungry. He's like, what's your mother usually cook for you? We don't even know. Some of us husbands, we have no clue what's going on. We don't even know where the salt is in the kitchen, where the oil is. Some of us even ask for the milk. Where is the milk in the fridge? How big is this fridge? You open the fridge, the first thing coming in your eyes is the milk. Some of us men, some men, they put their foot in the kitchen once a week. No, man. The Prophet ﷺ, as we're going to learn, inshallah, in next class, because now we're running out of time, you're going to see what the Prophet ﷺ, he's the example for us. Naam. He take care of the children. What else?
Clean the house.
Ahsant. Maintain the house. Clean. SubhanAllah. Can you imagine if one of us wife seen him doing this? He's asking a question. Listen now. It's okay to give the kids this, cook them this. It's okay if I bring some food from outside. Hmm? Is it okay to bring some sugar with berries? Huh? Is it okay to bring some sandwiches, some tuna sandwiches? It's okay. She's like, yeah, anything, honey. That's what you're gonna hear. Anything will do, right or wrong. She's worried about her children. They are yours and mine too. SubhanAllah, the sister, she's in pain in the bedroom, but all of a sudden she hears the washer working, right? She's like, she's going to make dua for you, man. And she's sick. SubhanAllah. And then she's going to appreciate that. And when she feels better, man, alhamdulillah, she will appreciate. Naam. Not like some man, as soon as the sister start doing things, by nature, she's a human, she gotta go. She gotta go. For what? Just for that? No, she doesn't gotta go. What gotta go is the attitude that some of us have. That's what's gotta go. And replace it with the sunnah. Replace it with the best guidance, the guidance of our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the way we treat our wives. They have a rights over us. And we just give that example if she's sick. And you all say, now you're going to make sure you give her medicine, take her to a doctor, do ruqya. And likewise, when she starts talking bad language, or she starts disrespecting you or your family, that's a sickness too. Don't you agree with me?
Yes.
That's a real illness, man. It needs the real cure. And we have it. We have that cure. We're going to continue, inshallah ta'ala, next time. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.